Hi, this is Joe Rand. I'm excited I may be coming to your home soon. For 25 years, you have been coming to Inman Connect. Now, Connect is coming to you. Find details at inman.com.
This is Brad Inman with my Daily Dispatch. I'm super excited today to have with me Tammy Bonnell, who is the CEO of Exit Realty. Tammy's always been one of those that people listen to very closely. She's an inspired leader. She's also a very positive person. Whenever she's around, I just feel good about things. When I do these podcasts, I do them on video so I can make eye contact with the person that I'm doing the audio podcast with. And as soon as Tammy's picture just showed up on my screen, I felt better about the world. And I know you'll feel the same way when we're done with this podcast. We're in some tough times that we really need leaders like Tammy. Greetings, Tammy. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
All's good. Where are you at? What city?
I'm actually in Pepperell, Massachusetts. I live in an 1890s farmhouse out in the country. Like me, when you travel all the time, when you're home, you really want to be home.
Yeah. Are you from there?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh, you are? Well, I get the Massachusetts twang there a little bit.
Yeah.
So does that mean you're a Patriot fan and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, what do you think of your quarterback? Are you all mad at that guy for abandoning ship?
No, I think he had to do what was best for him.
Oh, and I like that.
I really do think he had to do what was best for him, and I think it was time. And I at this age range, I think that, and Tom Brady is much younger than me, but at the age range that he is in the peak of his career, I think that all of us want to be Johnny Carson and leave on top, right?
Yeah.
I know I certainly want to. And so I think that he really, this was something more for him, and he needed to find it without being underneath someone else. It was find his own path.
I don't want to make this a sports podcast, but it sounds like we could. But I'll tell you, when Joe Montana, who was exactly loved and was a national quarterback hero, in fact, probably I would say Brady took away the throne from the old Joe Montana in terms of being the best quarterback ever. But, he left to go to Kansas City, and he's been asked many times, do you regret that? Because he had exactly the same trajectory career-wise as Tom Brady. And there's regret there. But anyway, good luck to Tom Brady. We don't need to talk about Tom Brady. Let's talk about real estate, Tammy. You know the industry well. You know the people well. You're kind of a woman of the people is how I always thought of you. You're not a fat cat CEO that does a lot of corporate speak. You really communicate well to the industry. Tell us, I call it the dog days of summer 2020. I think we're in for some tough times. And I know you bleed with this as I do. Give us some advice. Or what are you thinking about right now that you think can help people get through at least the summer, and then we'll worry about the fall later?
Well, I want to go down two paths. One is that I've had an opportunity to speak with quite a few economists. And one of the things that I think is good news that everybody should pay attention to is, unlike the depression/recession of 2008, where everything was upside down, the mortgage industry, the stock market, people committing fraud. I mean, it was literally a tsunami, never mind a perfect storm. It took a really long time to come out of that, but we were actually pretty healthy as an industry before the virus hit. So there weren't all of these other crazy indicators in there. So most of the economists that I've talked to say when we come out of it, we're going to actually ramp up pretty quick. So I think that's really good news. That gives you something to hold on to, some sort of hope that you can hang on to something good future tense. But I think right now the biggest issue is people's mindset. What do they do with their mindset? If I'm thinking ahead, I'm probably catastrophizing a little bit. I don't know that unknown.
Before I start to interrupt you, before we get to that, let's go back to the economy. I don't want to be overly sober, but I am worried about unemployment. And I'm just hoping, let's take the airlines. They're probably, Warren Buffett yesterday said they're never going to have as many flights ever again like they had. It's hard to see that recovering. I'm worried about tourism. I'm worried about some of the service industry. And as you and I both know, unemployment is tough for demand for the housing market. there are always buyers and some people will be employed, but I'm hoping you're right is all I want to say. I'm hoping that that recovery is swift, but that's my only concern, wrong or right here.
And I think we have to be cautiously optimistic, right? But I think that there's going to be different types of industry that are going to come out of this. There are going to be more people that turn into entrepreneurs that, you know, people staying home and having time to think. I think there's a lot of people that are starting to realize, so we'll see a few dramatic changes, realizing that they can do a lot from home. They can do a lot through Zoom. They can, maybe they can even satellite from home for a little bit more time, right? A little bit longer of a time frame, so that maybe they'll go into the office a couple of days a week and work from home the other time. I think some people will even cut down their hours because they've decided and focused on that quality of life thing. We really don't know what it's going to look like on the other side, but I remember when technology first started, everybody, I remember being at one of your events and having people be so full of fear. And it was so extreme. They were either all gung-ho and all for it, or petrified it was going to take away their world as they knew it. And really, all technology was supposed to be was a way for me to be more effective and more efficient. It wasn't supposed to take over my expertise. It was just supposed to make it so that I was more effective and more efficient. Yep. I think one of the silver linings is people are becoming much more human. Yes. But I think mindset, I'm a information junkie. I read a tremendous amount. And I think mindset is truly four times as important as even my daily activities. So we have
Let's talk about that. What? Okay. You know, you can always force a smile. I learned a long time ago. I once had a woman, Bob Hale's wife, tell me at a conference, I was picking up lint on the carpet. I was running around like a banshee and I had a big frown on my face. And Susie Hale came up to me and quietly told me one-on-one, Brad, you got to smile. Because you got to fake it even because people think something's wrong if you're not smiling. And there really was nothing wrong. It was just my own anxiety and it bleeds through. But can we fake a mindset? How do we find it? Do we accept the mindset that we're depressed? I always like that term. It's as if we can influence it. And I guess like everything in life, we can. Tell us how and what that means.
Sure. It's having that mindset. It's all about being in control of your day from the very beginning. Very successful people, we're typically really early risers, and we take control of our day before anything else takes control of it because we field a tremendous amount of text messages, phone calls, et cetera, flights when the world is a little bit different than it is right now. So I think getting up and being in control of your day, having a little bit of silence before anyone else is around, and being able to do whatever way you do affirmations and whatever way you visualize how you want the day to go. I'm a martial artist. Everybody in my family is, actually.
What does that mean, a martial artist? What is a martial artist?
It's a whole mind-body connection.
You do judo? Is that what it means? You chop?
Taekwondo. Actually, everyone in my family is a second-degree black belt or above.
Which means you can take your fist and crack a brick and that kind of stuff?
Yes, I can.
Really?
My hands are actually registered.
Wow, I got to be careful next time I'm registered.
But because I'm registered, I can't get in a fight without giving you a fair warning.
I don't mean to go off on these tributaries, but you, every time I talk to you, you have interesting stuff. Where did that come from? Where did you develop that passion or hobby?
Well, I was always into martial arts and that whole mind-body connection. From as early as I can remember, I was always really into that mind-body connection. But as we were raising our kids, my husband and I, as we were raising our kids, our oldest son has a ridiculously high IQ. It's probably around 185. He is brilliant, but has zero common sense, right? He'll walk the long way around a table, but he is just so smart. And he was having a really tough time in school. Everybody was calling him brain, and he actually got beat up on the way home from school, and he was little, nine years old. And so we went and looked at all the martial arts schools. Both my husband and I had taken martial arts prior to, but we went and looked to find one that was really focused on the whole person, not just fighting, but the whole person. And we found a school that we've belonged to for more than 30 years. Wow. And my husband's a master, and we're both referees and judges. And
how old is your son now?
He's going to be 38 next Saturday.
Now, let's go back to 9 years old. When he learned it, did he go kick their ass, or is that not how you handle it?
That's not how you handle it.
You gave him confidence not to take them, feel threatened or something. Is that right? Okay. I'm simplifying. I know something that's far more complex than my pay grade. But help me understand, as just a regular person that doesn't do this.
It taught him that he knew how to completely defend himself no matter what the circumstances, so he carried himself with a different level of confidence. He got threatened one time in high school, and he was actually in the men's room, in the boys' room, and he was actually at a urinal, and he kicked somebody and put his foot up against their neck against the wall.
Oh, beautiful.
And just held them there and said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And it's the only time he ever had to utilize it. So I've had
to ask you about the brainiac. Let me ask you about brain. I'm sorry I called him that. I'm glad he's not right here. But 38 years old, what do you do with all those brains?
He's actually an investor. So he teaches and coaches people on everything from short sales, investing in real estate, that kind of thing. And he's found his lane. He loves it. The more complex the circumstance, the happier he is.
Gotcha. That's great. Mm-hmm. So back to mindset. So you say we get up, the leaders, executives, others get up early, and you got to put your mind in the right place. And you find it through martial arts. I assume there's a lot of, I mean, I do it oddly enough. I wake up and write. And if I don't write, my mind's twisted up. And if I don't get on a bike, my mind's twisted up. I'm just naturally twisted up, full of anxiety. Not every morning. I feel good about life and positive, but you know, I can be anxious unless I do something about it. Is it that simple, or do I need to start jogging 5 miles and doing some other BS I don't want to do?
I think it has to be something that works for you, right? So I'll go through and do forms, which is fighting against an imaginary opponent, right? So that I'll go through forms, or I'll even just work out, lift weights, go for a walk. It doesn't matter what it is, but to be physical every single day. I write every day. I visualize how I want the day to go. My best advice for anybody that hasn't started this is to start off with some form of silence, even if it's just for 10 minutes that you are silent on your own. And then close your eyes, take 120 seconds. We can shift our entire mindset in 120 seconds.
I like that.
Visualize how you want the day to go. Picture the entire thing. I do it every single day, and my day turns out pretty close to how that is. I picture how I want other people to feel, how I want them to respond. If they feel like I'm from a position of love, or if I'm putting myself in their shoes, depending on what the circumstances are of the day. And so then it doesn't matter what you face after that, you're in control instead of the day controlling you or circumstances controlling you. It's all about the choices we make, not really the circumstances we're in.
But is there a danger? Things sometimes just come at us, and we can't control that, like externalities, like a pandemic. It's certainly the most extraordinary thing, that externality that hit my life that I can recall, and been through a lot of different things in my life. But, you know, I've traced back with my guest, people related to polio. I remember the HIV and AIDS epidemic in San Francisco, where I was in the early 80s. And I guess the Spanish flu, and I guess even the swine flu, and in the late 70s. But all those together aren't nearly as big as this. And not to mention, now on top of this, we have this crazy shutdown, deep freeze, as I call it, of the global economy. These are extraordinary externalities. Like, we can't even begin to think we can control that, but that's not what you're saying. You're saying, do you lean into it? Do you, I mean, control your own well-being? But that's hard in this time, isn't it?
But I think the more you reach out, and certainly Zoom has helped tremendously, right? Or Facebook Live or any of the other things that you're doing, the more you reach out and try and help someone else. The very first thing that I did was when we were locked down, is I called every single regional owner we have to see how they were holding up and how they were going to communicate with the brokers. And then I called all the brokers individually, so that, because all of them are facing something different, right? We actually have a broker whose wife passed away last week and had to do a funeral via Zoom. You know, I mean, there are real circumstances out there that are just, you can't even imagine what's going on in someone else's life, right? By putting yourself in someone else's shoes. So I think as long as we're focused on helping in some way, and it doesn't matter what that way is. Some people have more cash flow and can help more financially. Some people, maybe they're just volunteering. But I've witnessed people do, you know, you talk about all the stolen toilet paper you want and all the other crazy stuff and people gouging, but I'm actually witnessing people be neighbors again. I'm witnessing people reach out to help and just be that voice on the other end of the line. Yeah. And I think all of those things we can control.
It's beautiful. Let me ask you this. I put it on Facebook yesterday or the day before about a moment in my life personally, just very personal. My parents, who I love dearly, they were together 62 years, literally died back to back, you know, within a month. And then businesses were shaky. My businesses are all shaky, 2010, 11. And I was pretty much a mess, totally a mess. And I lived in the Upper East Side. And I remember sitting by a window in my apartment, drinking Jack Daniels at 1 p.m. and smoking cigarettes and getting on the phone and poor me, poor me, poor me. And I had Connect roll around 2 weeks later, and I gave a talk to a small group of people, and Chris Smith challenged me when I came off really down and out, and he was our MC and executive at Inman. And he kind of shook me and said, hey, Brad, pull it together here, dude. Fake it till you make it. Put on a smile. When you get on the main stage tomorrow, I don't want to see that pathetic Brad. People are looking to you for strength, and you're not giving it to them. And I never forgot that, because I was always, you know, be who you are, be direct, don't BS, don't, you know, but that fake it till you make it, there is something to say, I guess. And was it sincere the next day? As best as I could muster, but at least I wasn't all down and negative.
Well, I think it's...
What did I just talk about? That was rambling. What was my point there?
Well, but you know what? I read that post, and I actually believe I commented on it. And I think you helped a whole bunch of other people that are in that mindset right now by writing the post, by being honest enough to say, I was in this frame of mind and someone else pulled me out of it. We're not that, just because we are in a leadership position doesn't mean we're in control 24/7, or, you know, that we don't need a little bit of help or a little bit of a push once in a while of somebody. And if they have the best intentions, you know, for me, I feel very strongly of leading from a position of love. And even if I don't like what somebody's doing, I can say, I care enough about you to have this conversation, right? And to push them to snap out of whatever it is. But we have to snap out of stuff too. But look at how much stronger you are because you went through that of where you are now today. How many differences? We don't become stronger or better. You know, it's my extreme worry for this next couple of generations. Everybody's giving them everything and, you know, they're stuck on their phone or their tablet. They don't have the same level of relationships. They've been handed everything. I'm very concerned with their functioning ability of, because I can tell you for sure, I've grown the most through the most difficult times. And I'm sure that that's true for all of us.
Absolutely. You know? It's absolutely true. You know, I had Helen Hanna on my show, and I said, early on in this, I said, what experience in your personal life prepared you? Those moments when it was hard to get out of bed, it's hard to put one step in front of the other. And she told me, she said, first time ever publicly she admitted it or said it was, she said, when my son died. And oh my God, I had trouble there was a pause in our conversation for both of us, hard for her to admit it. And, but it is those experiences in life that do build, I guess, character, whatever you want to call it. The thing, have you ever noticed, Tammy, in these times, like I used to not be able to do this, but if you're down or if you're not feeling up, just like if you put help in a subject line of an email, if I put help in a Facebook post, and I usually say the help for me is help me figure this out or help me answer this question, or, and people respond to help. But I think personally, we're all so reluctant because of our pride or whatever to just say, help, I need someone to help me. And if you say that word to another human being, if you said it in the streets of New York City, like, help me find directions with a map, everyone will stop and help that person. Everyone, it's human nature. So I always encourage people, ask for help.
I agree with that. Even whether it's ask for help or ask for advice, right? A lot of times I'll put a tagline in an email, a little advice. And it's not me giving them advice. It's funny because a lot of times they assume that when they open it up that I'm going to tell them something about what to do. But it's the opposite. I want a little bit of advice. Maybe they have experience in an area that I don't have experience in. We can't be all powerful, all knowing. None of us are omnipotent. We have certain lanes that we're really good at. And then there's other things that we need help. But we all go through really rough times and rough days. And I think that you have to, whatever that thing is that's going to pull you through. And when you go through extremes like that, I actually, we lost our son Shane less than 3 years ago. And I remember feeling like I was never going to get out of bed and never going to be able to function again and never have a conversation. And our granddaughter, Esme, who is my kindred spirit, she's the wild child that if I said, I'm going to throw you off the roof, she'd say, I'll go get my shoes. You know, she has zero fear, jump out of everything. And we baked together on a regular basis. And we were baking about a month after losing Shane. And nothing went right. She wasn't behaving. And she's usually perfect with me. And we normally have a wonderful time, but nothing went right for either one of us. And I brought her back home. And it just felt awful for both of us. And she came back over that night and grabbed my hand and took me into our parlor where we have this really big window seat. And she pulled an ottoman in front of it, turned on the lights like a stage, and whipped a speech out of her pocket. And she was 7 years old. And she said, Grandma, you are my true north. And I thought, oh my God, I want to be her true north. And I want to be everybody's true north that I possibly can, that maybe there's some sort of a guiding light. And so obviously we miss him every single day, and there isn't a time that goes by that you don't think about it, but I belong honoring him by being the best version of myself that I can possibly be, but also being that, hopefully that North Star for someone or for some people, that to push them to get out of their comfort zone and go further than they possibly could.
Yeah. Well, I'm really, I can't imagine how tough that must be, Tammy, and I'm really sorry for you, but it's a beautiful story with your granddaughter. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, the circle of life, whatever happens to us, always seems to come together in some sort of way that gets us through these events. I've been interrupting you too much, but this summer, are you with me? This is going to be a tough summer, and let's use mindset. What's the everyday working realtor, which is a large portion of my audience, what's your advice to that everyday working realtor about getting through the dog days of the summer?
First, get your headspace in the right place. So starting the day off right. Second, most of us have probably 25 to 50 people that are the most influential people in our lives. They probably give them the most referrals. They do the most business back and forth. Maybe they get advice from these people. I would reach out to those 25 to 50 and stay connected with them, but not from a, I'm going to sell you something, but from an empathy-oriented standpoint of how you're holding up, how you're doing, what are you doing differently that's keeping you together? Not only will it help you with each thing that you're having a conversation, but when you come back out of it, they're going to remember who connected with them and who was close. I would reach out to, I always call it a dozen people that work on the real estate industry, not in it, appraisers, home inspectors, mortgage companies, insurance companies, reach out and ask what they forecast the changes to be that I should be prepared for, right? What are those changes that are going to be dramatically different? Maybe there's going to be something different on insurance. What are the things that are going to be different that they're willing to do? Like I have a conference call on Tuesday with Freddie Mac. What are the things that are going to be different that they're going to do in regard to approving mortgages when somebody's had a lapse for 6 months? What are the things that I can go back and give my consumer for advice right now so that I'm being part of the solution? I think that's the key thing. We have to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And if we're not part of the solution, we are the problem. And I really believe that strongly. So, but if they reach out to that dirty dozen and not with what's in it for me or where are my tickets to the game, but literally, you know, checking on them to see how they're holding up, to see if there's any changes that they see coming down the pike, so that how can I be ready? There's always a window of opportunity. There's always some silver lining that there might be an opportunity. And the quicker you see that, you know, I always recommend you have a 30,000 foot view, which is things like Inman, right? That I can see what's going on all over North America so that it gives me a perspective. Maybe there's some window there of opportunity that I don't see just yet. And I go into the next opportunity, and that's the 2,000 foot view and the street level view. And that Dirty Dozen is going to help me tell me everything that's going on in my state or province, and prepare me going forward. And I'm going to do the same for them. I'm going to add value to their life, and I'm going to prepare them too, so that when I go out, I'm going to be prepared. I did a talk this week with Women's Council for State of Arizona. It is the second biggest state for people moving into. Literally, 68% of the people that bought there didn't live in Arizona last year. So that's an amazing opportunity to start looking at where people are moving from and build connections so that you, when these people do start moving again, if they're not. But we are still seeing transactions happen because people move because of their circumstances, right? So we're still seeing transactions happen. But the more I can ramp myself up, building a connection with those people so that where I am on this planet, I am ready to literally hit the ground running when everything's ready. And I can go out. We're going to want that trusted advisor, right? 90% of consumers want a trusted advisor. I have to build a relationship in order for somebody to trust me enough to give them advice. So yeah. I need to make sure I'm connected with that person. But on the other side of that, I need to actually have accurate market knowledge. I need to have information, and not just on here, not just local where I am, but really where those windows of opportunity are. There's a tremendous amount of people that are going to want to invest, that are going to see that there's pockets somewhere. There's going to be all sorts of...
There's always transactions, Tammy, right?
Oh, yeah.
You just said, I always call it the market IQ that I expect from my realtor. I always say every realtor somewhere in their body should have the tattoo of the zip code where they work, just to remind them that you need to know about every house, every street, every school. You need the history, you know, what the prices are. You need to know who the people are. You need to know everything about that. Because honestly, that's why I hire a realtor. You know more about that than I do, than I could get on the internet. I hate to cut you off. Let me pose this, Tammy.
Sure.
Let's get you on main stage at Connect Now, which is our virtual event coming up June 2nd through the 4th. And I'd like to challenge you to think about giving some, think about June 2nd, you know, 30 days away, right? Actually, 30 days away from right now. What's a powerful message? You kind of got to have to push yourselves out a month. What might be the mood then? It might be we're still cloistered, which is scary, but it might be that we're getting uncloistered. It might be that we're out running around again. Think about giving a presentation or a Q&A or something at our main stage. And because I know what you just did for me this morning, right before we got on this call, I got an email from somebody about something that really rattled me. And now I'm unrattled. And it's always about the human connection, right? It's totally about the human connection. And so I think some people will be at Connect Now, some of them a little rattled. So I'm counting on you to do for them what you did for me. Is that a deal?
Yeah, that's a deal. That's okay. A deal. I would love to.
And you're the best. You remind me how much, and I'm going to put this on Facebook right now. You remind me how much I love the industry and how many great characters of all dimensions there are. So keep up the good work. And you know, you look with your glasses up and the light coming on your red hair, you look a little like Batwoman. So I think you may also be a superstar, particularly since you know the martial arts. So this was a joy for me to chat with you today. This is Brad Inman checking out.